Well, good morning, and I'm happy to be back in a semi-normal routine. The last couple weeks have been pretty hectic for Aaron and I, and it's good to be back in the Lord's house worshiping with all of you. You know, life can get quite busy sometimes, as I was reminded these past couple of weeks, that our most thought-out plans, that even in our most thought-out plans, they don't always go quite as planned. Sometimes things or circumstances of life come up that are beyond our control, and it can quickly throw everything out of whack. Aaron's more one that's more routine than I am, but even myself over these last couple of weeks was realizing, wow, things are really going crazy, and Aaron and I have been pretty busy. For instance, my brother and his family were in town for almost 2 weeks. I didn't realize he was coming for 2 weeks. I thought a week, and then when he showed up, he goes, "We're going to be here for 2 weeks." I'm like, okay. Now, I love my brother, and I love that him and his family came for a visit, but our routine was really messed up. And even in my downtime at home, it was messed up. My brother is sort of, if you ever get a chance to know him, or if you maybe got a chance to talk to him at the campout, he's like a big kid. And it's hard to keep up with him sometimes. For instance, he loves, even at home, in my downtime, he loves watching cartoons. I can't figure that out. He always had cartoons on the television. Now, when I'm at home, I like to watch TV. If I do watch TV, I like watching the news, sports, maybe a documentary or something, and he doesn't watch any of that. It's Scooby-Doo or something like that. I'm like, it drove me nuts. And I'm telling you, if my brother's listening online, because sometimes he says he goes back and listens to my sermon, Leo, I love you, but man, you're 46 years old. Can we watch something else besides cartoons on television? Now, I'm just giving my brother a hard time, and I was happy that he was here, but he did throw my routine off quite a bit. But as you all know, even in our best well-thought-out plans, they don't go always as planned. And some plans for our lives can even become shattered and broken. Even the promises that we make to others can be hard to keep due to circumstances that come up in life, such as a promise to meet a friend for lunch, or a promise to do a Bible study with a brother or sister in Christ, or even a promise to take your spouse out for a dinner date. You know, the fact is we're human, and many of the promises that we make to one another are never guaranteed, even if we have the best intentions to keep our promise to someone. Now, some promises we make should be kept, such as the promise a couple makes when they get married to each other on their wedding day, to stay together till death do they part. This is a promise that should always be kept, and nothing in this world should ever separate a man and a woman who are joined together in marriage by God, except for death. But most promises, again, that we make to one another in this world can change depending on the circumstances. Any of you who have kids know this all too well. Have you ever promised to take your kids somewhere like the park, a public pool, or maybe a movie, and then have something come up like work at the last minute that causes a change of plans? And your kids are really quick. I know my kids were really quick to remind me, but you promised. Now, kids, I know usually you're downstairs, but I'm going to give you a little advice, a little Bible lesson here. Maybe it's a Bible, maybe just a little advice. Maybe it's not a Bible lesson, but take most of the promises that your parents make to you lightly. I'm pretty sure your parents want to do the best for you and to meet all the promises they make to you, but things come up. Things come up that are beyond your parents' control. So don't hold that against them if they have to break a promise. Remember that ultimately that your parents love you and they want the best for you. And they will do all they can to make you happy and to fulfill the promise they made to you. But kids, also remember this, that your parents are not God. They can't control everything. And sometimes they do indeed break a promise to you. But they still love you. But God, on the other hand, God never will break a promise to you. Ever. Because everything is within his control, unlike your parents. Now, starting today, over the next 2 weeks, we will explore a few of God's promises together. I say a few because if I do a sermon series strictly on God's specific promises found in Scripture, this series could last years. God's promises are found all over Scripture in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And here is a truth that every Christian needs to understand and grasp with all of their faith. The truth is, the Christian life is totally dependent on the promises of God. The only way you're going to hear from God and what He promises to you is to be in His Word daily, so you hear those promises that He gives to all of His children. Every good parent wants to promise their children something good, but as I stated just a few moments ago, circumstances come up in life where we can't always keep our promises as parents, even if we want to. But then, as I said to the children, that is not or never the case with God. A divine promise from God is an assurance that He will do what He says He is going to do. God never backs out on His promise. But you need to be in His Word to know what those promises are. Now, before we get started about a few of these promises, we also need to understand that there are actually two types of promises from God found in His Word. The first type of promise in Scripture is called an unconditional promise. This type of promise has no condition attached to it, where God expects something from you before He fulfills His promise. For instance, we find this kind of promise in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 3. God made a promise to Abraham to make him and his descendants into a great nation and bless all people in this world through Abraham and his people. Now, Abraham still had to take steps of faith, even though this promise by God was unconditional, but God was going to make it happen one way or another, even if He had to bring severe judgment to make it happen. Through Abraham's descendants, the Israelites, God would guide His people and sometimes even bring judgment upon His people to make this promise become a reality. Do you know that is why you read so much of God's judgment in the Old Testament? People ask, why is He always bringing His wrath and His judgment down on His people? It is because God made this promise to Abraham and says, I am going to make this happen. Even in your disobedience, I will make this become a reality. It was an unconditional promise. That promise was not just for a nation to rise, the nation of Israel. It was so much more than that. The promise that God gave to Abraham was a blessing that was to come through those people, through that nation. That blessing was Jesus Christ being born through the ancestors of Abraham. The second type of promise, and this is a promise that is most of the promises in Scripture, is called a conditional promise. This type of promise has some type of mandate or condition attached to it before God will fulfill His promise. For instance, turn with me in your Bibles. It should be up on the screen. To Romans chapter 10, verse 9. In this verse, God gives a promise to save all people, from sin and give them the gift of salvation and eternal life. But there is a condition attached to this promise before God will fulfill this promise to anyone. And here is the condition. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So as you are reading the Scriptures in your personal devotion times, pay attention to these promises. In this verse, the promises, the condition is that we confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in all our heart that God raised Him from the dead. we believe in Jesus. We believe what he did for us. Pay attention to those conditions. If it is a conditional promise, pay attention to what God is asking you to do, and then obey it and do it. And I can tell you without any reservations, if you do what God says to do, he will fulfill his promise. He will never back away from it. Obedience is very important to God because he wants to bless you through his promises to you. Again, for those who have children, you parents make conditional promises to your children all the time. For instance, I would tell my kids when they were growing up, if they got an A on their report card, I would give them a little bit of money. I didn't have to give them a lot of money because they didn't get a lot of A's. But when they got their A's, I fulfilled my promise and I would give them a little bit of money. It was an incentive to encourage them to work harder in school. But it was more than just an incentive of a little bit of money. You see, I had something bigger in mind. For them, they were just looking at, I'm going to get $20, $10, or whatever for the grade. But as a parent, I wanted my children to do good in school because I knew the harder that they worked in school, it would prepare them as adults to be successful in life. You see, God's doing the same thing for his children. He is asking us to do something. We look at obedience like, I just have to do this for God. Well, sure, you have to do this for God because he has something better for you in life. That's why he's asking you to be obedient to him. He tells us to do something. For instance, he may tell us to avoid something, abstain from something, because he wants the best for us. And on top of that, he gives us even greater incentive than money. He promises in his word that he will give us the Holy Spirit to live out throughout our lives within those who believe, and the power and the glory, as I talk to the children. Jesus says, I will give them my glory. That is something amazing. When he says, I will share my glory with them, Father. You know, we look at and we wonder, how can we get people who don't, in a culture who have nothing, want nothing to do with God. We live in a culture, I was just meeting with talking to the staff, and Pastor Kai and Aaron and Jacqueline, we've been discussing this the last few days about evangelism and how do we reach people that want, in a culture that is so far away from God, that had nothing to do with God. We live in this postmodern culture, and we can sit there and go, oh, it's just too hard, God. It's too hard to reach these people. Not when we have the glory of Christ upon us, it's not too hard. Because when they see Jesus, then they will believe. Or they will be without excuse, as the word says. But we have a big role to play as his church. But sometimes we feel disappointed in God because we think somehow God failed to keep his promises to us. Especially when things in life don't go as planned. Some people blame God for that. But this is only because we misunderstand God and his ways. God is always faithful to fulfill his promise. And if it's a conditional promise, which is most of God's promises, we better figure out what that condition is before holding God to his promise. But if you meet his condition, then God wants you to hold him to his promise. Because if God is not fulfilling a promise he made to you in his word, there is likely, though, a hindrance before you that is causing God to withhold fulfilling his promise to you and blessing you. Unconfessed sin is usually one of those hindrances before us to cause God to delay in fulfilling one of his promises, or really any of his promises. It's so important to repent as believers, and deal with the sin that remains in your life. The way to do that is by repenting, simply turning from your sin and turning to Jesus and then asking him to forgive you and helping you to overcome your temptation. Jesus knows your heart. Jesus knows your struggles. Bring them to him. He will help you. But don't ignore it. Then God will move forward again with one of his promises. Because you humbled yourself before him. Here is a hindrance for you husbands out there. This is going to be a little convicting. It's convicting for me to even say it. Do you know that God won't even answer your prayers as a husband if you are not loving and respecting and honoring your wife as God expects you to? That's a condition that God gives to husbands. I'm serious. That's in God's word. It's in 1 Peter chapter 13, verse 7. Look it up. It's tough. But see, God wants something. When he says, I want you to honor your wife, to love her, respect her, he's trying to do something amazing through you, through your marriage, through the church. And so he wants you to do that. The point is, you really need to understand why it is important to be reading God's word for yourself every day. So instead of saying, why aren't you fulfilling your promise, God? Maybe look at yourself, look at the word, see what you're not fulfilling that God is asking you to do. We need to understand God's ways, and we need to understand God's will for your life if you're ever going to expect him to move powerfully in your life or in the life of this church. But when we do, the Holy Spirit will move. Now, that was a long introduction, but I thought it was important that we understood how God works out his promises in the life of a believer before we can ever explore some of his promises together. God is always faithful. God is trustworthy, and he has the ability to do what he says he's going to do. Every person on this earth knows that this world is in need of hope, especially in our day. The world is looking and longing for something real, something with substance, something life-giving and filled with love. We hear how divided we are as a nation, how divided we are as a world. The nation and the world looks for answers outside of God, but only hatred continues to grow. And I believe most people in this world don't want to remain divided, even though we are all sinners. God created us to be united through Jesus Christ. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9, 8 through 9, God gives us a promise to those who are in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul relays this promise by saying to the Corinthians, he says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever." So through the grace of God, he promises to give every Christian spiritual giftings in the Spirit. If you're already in relationship with Jesus, you already have that spiritual gift. That was a gift given to God from God to his church to use for his glory. And if you step forward in faith and use the spiritual gifts that God has given to you, God promises in his word that you will abound in every good work that you will ever do for God. That in all things, in all times, you will have everything you will ever need in this life. The peace and the glory of Jesus Christ that was within you, that is within you, will be seen then by others who you interact with. The power of Christ will be manifested through you. But all too often, Christians today are not taking those steps of faith to fulfill this promise. Many don't believe they are gifted enough or good enough to do what God is asking them to go do. They say they believe in Jesus, but in a way they are calling God a liar. So are you stepping out? Are you stepping forward in faith, in boldness, knowing that God is with you, to use the gifts that he has given to you? His righteousness is within every follower of Jesus. Coming to faith in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ for salvation is not just about getting a ticket to heaven. That's not what Jesus died for. I mean, that was the big thing he died for, but he gave us so much more. As wonderful and amazing the gift of heaven and promise of eternal life is to the believer, a believer is not expected to sit back and wait for Jesus either to return or to bring heaven here on earth, and or wait until the day the believer dies and goes to heaven. You see, that's not the Christian life, just waiting to the day we die or for Jesus to return. That is not the life that Jesus died to give you. Jesus didn't just die for you to be forgiven. He rose again to give you life in this world, here and now. So ask yourself, are you living it this way? Are you living in faith with Him and believing God's promises to you? The Christian life is walking here on earth in communion with Jesus and with other believers, as we talked about with the children. It is to prepare for the kingdom of heaven that is to come when Jesus returns. We, the church, are to be the salt and light of the world, and God's promises are what equips us with His power and with His glory to show people of the world the light of Jesus. Too many Christians in this world, though, are living a life of defeat. And I argue that it is because they fail to believe in God's promises to His church. Too many Christians just live their lives for this world and not for the reality of Christ's kingdom. If you are a Christian, Jesus wants to do an amazing work within you and within your life and through you. As a matter of fact, He promises to complete this work within you. Listen to this from the Apostle Paul, found in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 and 6. Paul says, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Paul is confident that Jesus will complete the good work in you. If you have come into relationship with Jesus Christ, do you believe what Paul says here? You should, because it is God's word. He promises it. That Jesus, who began a good work in you, the first time you came to a saving relationship with Him, will carry it on to completion until the day that Jesus returns. Are you living the life intended for you as a Christian, or are you still living for this world and believing the lie instead? Because God only works through our faith. Faith is believing what God says is true. Faith is believing, for instance, that God will complete the good work in you. It's believing that that is true. And then He will carry it on till completion. It's like this. Quite a long time ago, I think when I turned 30, my older brother surprised me and took me skydiving for my birthday. Now, I wasn't too excited about going skydiving, but I couldn't back out and have my older brother called me a chicken. So I went. And when we arrived at the airfield, I discovered I wouldn't be jumping, thankfully, out of the airplane on my own. I would be attached to a more experienced skydiver. We would jump out of the plane together. And I was told that I really didn't have much to do except just go along for the ride. He gave me a few simple instructions, such as when we fall out of the plane, spread my arms and spread my legs out after he tapped me on the back. Now, I will admit, when we just got up to about 12,000 feet in that airplane and the doors were open, I thought, I don't think I want to do this anymore. I could have simply just told the skydiving instructor that I changed my mind, I don't want to do it. I could have backed out. But I faced my fear, and I trusted the skydiving instructor, who was did a lot of jumps, had a lot of experience. I trusted that he would keep me safe. And he even said he would pull the parachute cord open at the proper time. And he said, even if I pass out, I'm like, what do you mean pass out? He goes, even if I pass out, he goes, after you get down to about 2,000 feet, it'll open up by itself. I'm like, I sure hope that equipment really does work. You see, I had the trust, the instructor, the person who packed the parachute. I had the trust that we had a secondary chute, all that stuff. And I can tell you, when we went to the side of the airplane and we fell out of the airplane. And it was, they tell you it's going to be like flying. He's like, oh, you're going to love it. It's going to be like you're flying. When you fall out of that airplane, you feel like you're falling really fast. But I tell you, it was a rush as we fell out that door. We dropped for about 40 seconds, just, you know, I guess they call it a free fall. It is a free fall. We fell for about 40 seconds, and eventually, you know, the skydiver instructor tapped me on the shoulder. I did what he told me to do, and after about 40 seconds, the chute came open, and it was complete silence. When you're falling, it's not silence. It's just rushing wind, loud. It's actually terrifying. But when that chute came open, it was so peaceful up there, and you can just see for miles, you know. And the instructor sort of whispered in my ear. He goes, "Isn't this cool?" I said, "Yeah, this is pretty cool." But you know, I had to do a few things. First of all, I just had, like I said, put my arms and legs out. You know, and even when we landed, I had a few instructions. But really, all I had to do was trust and have faith in the instructor that he would take care of me. And lastly, I had to follow his simple instructions. And I couldn't, and one thing he did tell me, by the way, he said, when we fall out of that airplane, don't panic. And I was like, okay. Because I guess he had a few people that have panicked, and when they're attached and you're just sort of panicking, it's really hard for the instructor to get control of you. So they tell you not to panic. He said, do everything I say and trust me, and then you will have the ride of your life. You see, that's what Jesus is telling us to do. He's saying, don't panic, trust me, do everything I say to do. It's only a few instructions. Do everything I say to do, and then I'll give you the ride of your life. That's a life of victory. That's what Jesus is asking us to do. And God wants us to do that for everyone in his church. Everyone. And he wants people that don't even know him yet to have that same experience. Not just for the here and now, but for all eternity. You see, that is what God is asking us to do. Don't go looking at what's going on around you in panic. Don't live in fear. Don't live in defeat. Don't look at the waves and the wind of your life like Peter was doing when he walked on the water. Instead, trust him and his promises to you. Then Jesus will quiet the wind. He will quiet the waves like it was when that parachute came open. And that's where peace is found. It is then you will be able to speak in power and peace to others in a very loud and violent world. And then they will see Jesus. You know, I wish you could have experienced that peace that I had when that parachute opened. It was more than just being relieved that I didn't splatter on the ground. It was more than that. It was a peace of knowing that my instructor had everything under control. And I can't explain how thankful I was to the instructor who was on my back. I was like, oh, thank God that guy knows what he's doing. But that's why we thank Jesus. Thank God, Jesus, that you know what you're doing. No matter what's going on in this life, thank God. Thank you, God, that you're in control of everything, always. You got my back, no matter what. That's a joy. That's the joy that Jesus wants to give every one of us. Every Christian is responsible to use the gifts that God has given them as we trust him. And then the Holy Spirit, like any gifts, you need to learn how to use those gifts that God has given you. They're just simple instructions. And God promises never to leave you alone to do that. If God shaped and molded the heavens and the earth, how easy do you think it is for him to shape you and mold you into the person he intends you to become? The prophet Isaiah recognizes this in Isaiah 64 and 8. It says, Isaiah said, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are the potter, and we are the work of your hand." And listen to what the Apostle Paul says about us being clay and the Father the potter. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 and 10, Paul says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body." That's so amazing, God's word there. Over 700 years before the time of the Apostle Paul, the prophet Isaiah spoke these words that we are the clay and you are the potter. And then here's Paul following up on that. The Apostle Paul is saying here that if you have faith in Jesus, if you are a Christian, you are one of the jars of clay that God has made. That the power that we think comes from us is not from us. It's from God. It's from God alone. And here is the cool part. If you were to mold a jar of clay on your own and even put it under fire to make it durable, very hard enough, very hard, very tough, maybe thinking it's even indestructible, hand it to my grandson, Jackson, for a few moments. I can tell you, no matter how much that jar of clay that you think is indestructible, he'll figure a way to destroy it. But see, not with God. When God molds you, nothing can destroy you. Nothing that this world can throw at you can destroy you. No matter how much you're being pressed from all sides, that the Spirit of God is within you. And you have the treasure stored up in these jars of clay within you, the Holy Spirit, who gives you the power, his power, to live a life in victory. People want to see that through the church. We wonder why the Christian church in America is not growing. It's because we don't understand the power that Jesus has already given us. It's not all about, you know, our worship team was up here worshiping. They did a wonderful job. And we, of course, are looking for guitar players and piano players and bass players and drummers. We love all that stuff. And God loves all that stuff. But that's not where the power is. The power is within Aaron, within Shauna, within all of you, as we are together in unity, serving God with all our heart, believing that we are his jars of clay, that we have his Spirit to live out this life in victory. And it doesn't matter what we see happening around us. It doesn't matter all the hurt, all the death, all the whatever. It doesn't matter. We're Christ's jars of clay. We can't be destroyed. Nothing on this earth can ever destroy. He's already given us the promise of eternal life. So what can this world ever do to us? All that our job is to do is to love. That's what Jesus says to do. To go out and love. Go out and love and share the truth of God's word and the truth of the gospel, because the gospel is love. Jesus wants everyone to know this truth. The next 2 weeks, we'll explore a few more of God's promises together. And I just wanted to set that up today, as knowing what his promises are, so as you read his word, to pay attention to those promises. And God's promises will always be fulfilled when we remain faithful. He will always complete the good work in you to completion. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. We thank you that you never break your promise. I'm amazed when I read the Old Testament and you had those unconditional promises that you made. And sometimes when I read it, I'm like, wow, God, why did you do that? Why did you have to do that way? Well, you made an unconditional promise that you were going to make it happen, and you did. But Lord, by many of your promises are conditional, that you want us to be in cooperation with you, that you don't want to force us to do things, that you want us to have a relationship with you, that everything that you tell us to do in obedience, Lord, is only for our good, is only to help us grow to become more like you, Jesus. Help us be that way. Help us know and remember your promises, even when the wind and the waves of life are crashing around us, Lord, that we can still know that in you there is peace, in you there is joy, and in you there is power and love that this world so desperately, desperately needs to see now. Be with us, Lord, as we go throughout our week. In Jesus' name, amen.